Morning, church.
Morning.
For some awkward reason, I'm a bit nervous. I don't know why. But trusting God that He would help us to share His word. As He has given us the ability, I want to thank the church and the board of elders for this opportunity to stand before the church to share the word of God with us. It's an honor that I always value and appreciate whenever I'm given the opportunity to share with us the word of God. When Doug told me some weeks back that I'll be coming up on the pulpit to share with us word of knowledge, I began to pray and was searching through what is it that God wants to speak to us at this time. And I remember the song many years ago. I was quite young, but if you have had my spiritual journey story, you'd have known that I've been very, very close to the church since when I was young. So it was one of the youth camp then, and this, I think it was in 1996. Not too distant, not too long ago, maybe. Well, yeah, I think that was, I was quite young then, but but not very young, because I still remember the song very well, and I can still, maybe at some point before we conclude the message, I'll briefly teach us the song, maybe just the chorus. I'll do the verse, but I know we'll be able to catch up with the chorus. So this morning, the title of or the topic of the message is trust management. Trust management. And from the Bible text we read, Matthew 25:14-30, it's a very familiar Bible story, at least for most people that have been within the sphere of the Christian religion for some time. It's a story that we are very familiar with. And each time that we have discussed or talked about this particular Bible verse, we have had different views or insights to the interpretation. So, but this morning I would a bit not totally look away from what we are very used to, but just get deeper into what the context is all about. So before we continue, I'd just like to say a word of prayer. And Father, as we go into your word, we ask that you reveal to us what you want us to know. Give us understanding, give us insight, and enable us to be able to put into practice whatever it is that we have learned for you this morning through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God does not only examine what He has entrusted to us, He also examines how we manage it. This parable explicitly spoke about the talent, where each individual is given gold, as some, I think the King James would say talent, but for the benefit of our context, we use gold. So he gave gold to his servant according to their abilities. So one was given 5, another 2, and yet another 1. underline the word, according to their what? Abilities. So he did not give beyond or above what he believed each of the servants can manage. Remember, these are his servants, so I believe they've been with him for some years. So he understood that this each individual has his own capacity and how he can manage whatever responsibilities committed to him. However, one interesting thing about the third servant, very interesting. Of course, we know what happened with the first, the seventh, but I'll draw more on the third servant. He did not squander the money. Did he? From what we read, he did not. He chose to hide the money. And he's got a valid reason as far as it's concerned. He said, the master is a hard man and loves to reap where he did not sow. And so, in his wisdom, he thought the best thing I could do is just keep the money somewhere. Whenever I back, I'll hand him the exact amount. I didn't take anything from it. I've been a responsible servant. I did not take out of it to go to Aldi or Sainsbury to buy anything. So I will just, once he comes back, welcome, master. Have your gold. Because I knew the kind of person you are. I want us to understand too that maybe the others are the same, maybe I'm saying now, that's my own thought. The same, they've had the same experience, I want to believe. Maybe they have the same notion about the master being hard, I don't know. But they chose to approach their duty or responsibility differently. And the first said, master, I came back, you gave me 5, I was able to make some sales and brought back, making 10. Oh, good. The second, I was able to make 2 extra. Good. I'm not sure if any of us would, with the whole, what's the appropriate name for it now? This interest and going on about, that I can't remember the exact word now. You putting in money and getting return on your investment. Yeah. Interest, thank you. I don't think any of us would want to invest in anything and expect not to have a return and be happy with it. I don't know. Or you'd, so I would just come to you and say, okay, church, good morning. Yeah, my name is David. I want you to give me some of your hard-earned money, kept in for good keeping. And after 10 years, you can all come back and I'll hand you over the exact amount. Is that a good business idea? How many is going to subscribe to that? No one loves me in the church. It's just for 10 years. For safekeeping. All right. So, if by human standard we are not going to subscribe to that, I don't think it's out of place for the master to at least expect a return on investment. Different people receive different levels of responsibility according to their capacity. However, something stood this servant out, and I'll look at it in 4 contexts. The first, which he explicitly said in the verse, is that fear. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. Understand the kind of person my master is. So I thought I could just hide the money because of fear. The second thing is disobedience. Let me explain. It wasn't said in the book of Matthew, but it's there's the same story in Luke 19. And if you look at the account of Luke 19, the master explicitly told them that put the money into good use. Let's quickly look at Luke so that we understand where I'm coming from. Luke 19 and verse 13b. He said, so he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. So there was an instruction by the master telling the servants to put the money into work. So the money is not meant to be idle. The money is not meant for safekeeping. He told the servants to put the money into good use. So there's an altar of disobedience from the third servant. And the third thing is inappropriate action. Yes, he took an action. But was it the right action? No. He chose to put the money buried in the ground. And the fourth thing, which is very, very important, is when the master came back and inquired of them, what have you done with the minas or the gold I gave to you? He chose to shift blame and responsibility. He said, yeah, I know you are a hard man, very difficult to please, love to reap where you did not sow. So, because I don't want your problems. In Nigeria, we call problems wahala. So, because I don't want your problems or I don't want your wahala, I just chose to keep the money buried in the ground. So, he was making a case for himself that I did this because of this. And that, to me, it's a kind of shying away to take responsibility for his failure. And this is a sharp contrast from the story of the prodigal son, which I believe you all know, are familiar with very well too. There's the case of fear, and there's the case of reckless spending on the part of the prodigal son. He had his own share of the inheritance. He went to a faraway country. He squandered all the money. But after some time, he realized and came back to his senses and took responsibility for all his actions. So we might be wondering, also, what is the balance therein? I believe that, this is my own thought now, if the third servant had decided or chose to invest the money genuinely, honestly, but it became a bad investment as the money. Do you think the master would have punished him? What do you think? I think he wouldn't have, because he actually used the money judiciously as best as he could understand. Invested it as the master has requested, but unfortunately to bad investment as well. Hoping to get returns, but at the end of the day, it was it didn't come back as we expected. So in my opinion, I feel the master would not have punished him for putting the money to use, but it came back as a bad investment. Avoiding loss by refusing to use it is not necessarily good management. If you are running from loss because there's an opportunity but you're avoiding loss, it doesn't show that you're a good manager. It doesn't show an act of responsibility. It doesn't show that what has been committed into your hands, you would or can put it into proper use. On a lighter note, in my country now, the election is coming up next year, and so many people are talking about, we have a presidential candidate, so everybody saying he's the best candidate to take us to the next level. One of the candidates, when asked that, what did you do with the, he was governor in the state for 8 years, and he was asked, what did you do with all the money, the allocations you got while governor for 8 years? He said, I kept it in the bank. The money was not put into good use. It wasn't used for anything, not social development, not building any infrastructures. And people that are knowledgeable said that was a bad idea. You don't keep money somewhere while there are things to be done. You invest, you put them into use and see what comes out. If it comes out negative, well, you tried, in all honesty, but there are chances that it's not come back negative, but there could be that caveat. So the third servant returning the original investment was not the master's expectation of the entrusted resources, even though we might think that he hasn't lost anything. He wasn't asked to present or to preserve the asset. He was asked to use it. He wasn't asked to preserve the asset. He was asked to use it. There's a legitimate place for prudence. However, you cannot maximize the opportunity at least. If you cannot maximize the opportunity, don't utilize it. What God has entrusted with you is expected for every Christian now that you put it into good use. That is the expectation of God to every believer. He has given each of us something. There's no one in this fold or in the Christian community that God has not handed something. And he's expecting or still expecting you and I to invest and do something with it. He's not expecting us to keep it, to make it idle, not functioning, and just laying there, doing nothing. God has entrusted you and I with so many things. It could be intellectual ability. It could be professional skill. It could be leadership capacity, financial resources, relationship, influence, time, education, creativity, marriage, or even a platform. All these things that God has given unto us as an individual, as a Christian, the question that comes to mind, or that we should be asking each ourselves, or that I should ask yourself, or that I should myself, is what am I doing with it? What are you doing with it? It's okay to come to church and ask God for everything, which unfortunately we have reduced Christianity to in this age and time. Most believers now, have the notion that when they come to church, it's just to give me, take. And Christianity should be beyond that. Christianity is actually beyond that. Because for each and every one of us, something has been deposited in us that's going to help our generation, that's going to impact your immediate world, that is meant to impact your community, people around you. What are you doing with it? What have you done with it? Are you just like the third servant, going to hide it, put it somewhere, and wait for the master to return? And say, well, there's so more war, so many wars going around. Afghanistan fighting Iraq, Russia fighting Ukraine. Donald Trump headache. So I couldn't do much because so many problems all around. Even the system in the UK is not working. In our time, many years ago, it wasn't like this. A bus fare was 50p. Now it's £3. Oh, so I couldn't do much, God. and you didn't give me anything. The only thing you gave me is this, and I just hid it because I can't use it. How do you want me to use it? The word is messed up. Trust management. Even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of the hullabaloo, even in the midst of the confusion, God expects you and I to put what he has deposited in us into good use. If you look around you, there's always some, there's one thing that God expects you and I to intervene and to make it right. That is why he has invested in you. That is why he has given you the talent. That is why he has given you the gold. What am I doing with it? What are you doing with it? Sometimes, the greatest waste of gift is not misusing it. It is never using it at all. The greatest waste of any gift is not mismanaging it, is not misusing it. It is not using it at all. I'm challenging us this morning that as we go up this week again, what is that thing that has been deposited in you and has been kept idle for many years or many months? Do a deep soul searching. And get it working. I said I was going to sing the song. The song I hold dear to me. It's a good song. Yeah, it's a reminder that for each and every one of us, God is counting on us. And it says, trust management. God is counting on you. Trust management. God is counting on you. Trust management. God is counting on you. All the days of your life, God is counting on you. Trust management. God is counting on you. Trust management. The world is counting on me. Trust management. UK is counting on you. All the days of your life, God counting on you. Adam had his trust. He disappointed his God. Saul had his trust. You know he failed his God. Judas had his trust. He never reached the end. All the days of your life, God is counting on you. Joshua had his trust. He got to the promised land. David had his trust. He never failed his God. Paul had his trust. He made it to the end. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. Trust management. God is counting on me. Trust management. World is counting on me. Trust management. UK is counting on me. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. Can we try the song? It says, trust management, God is counting on me. Let's go. God is counting on me. Trust management, the world is counting on me. Trust management, UK is counting on me. All the days of my life, God is counting on me. One more time. Trust management. God is counting on me. Trust management. The world is counting on me. Trust management. UK is counting on me. All the days of my life, God is look at the person beside you and point to him or her. I said, trust management. God is counting on you. Trust management. The world is counting on you. Trust management. UK is counting on you. All the days of your life, God is counting on you. If the world is going bad and hurry, God has put you there to do something positive. God has put you there to make that positive impact that the world needed, the world needs, the world is still needing, the world would ever need. Counting on you. Trust management. Let's pray. Let's reflect on this and ask God to help me as an individual to make full proof of my ministry. I know you have deposited something big in me, something great in me. Help me to be a good steward. Help me to be a responsible steward. Help me to be able to make proper account for everything that you have entrusted in me, just like the first two servants. In any way I've been making excuses, like the third unprofitable servant, forgive and have mercy. We humbly come to you this morning again, Lord, and ask for your help to be able to act responsibly, and be a good steward for that which you have committed into our hands to make our world a better place, to make our community a better place, to make our church a better place, to make our workplace a better place, to make our home a better place. Everything you're giving unto us, our influence, our capacities, our abilities, the instinct, wisdom, help us, O Lord, to be able to put them into good use so that we can hear, just like the other two faithful servants, that welcome, come to the joy of your master. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.